It's your man, Sir Earl, coming at you. All right. Today is Saturday, February 22nd. Pretty warm today in Chicago, actually. It's almost 50 degrees. It's pretty good, pretty good. Feeling real good outside. I wanted to come at you today. I sat back the other day, and I was thinking about, because we have about two more weeks or a week and a half, until Chie does the Arnold Classic figure competition. She's one of the best amateurs. She's ranked number two in the United States, number one in Japan. So I started thinking about, in prepping her for the competition, which I've done for the last 16 years that she's been competing, I started thinking about my journey through bodybuilding and some of the greats and some of the things that got me involved in the sport and experiences that I've had along the way. First thing is they say, first thing is my opinion on bodybuilding. A lot of people, they look and they blame it on the drugs, the PEDs, the steroids, whatever you want to call it. And I'm asked a lot about that. And my response is always, you know, when you say that this guy, Ronnie Coleman or Dorian, or these guys look like this because of the drugs, it's a huge form of disrespect to all the hard work that they put into it. It's a reason that there's 8 billion people in the world, worldwide, 8 billion people, and you may only have 7 or 8 that are championship worthy in bodybuilding. And first and foremost, you have to be born with the right genetics. You have to have the right mindset. You've got to train for years and years and years and years. And what they do when they blame the drugs as opposed to the hard work that they put in, they take away the fact that most of these guys have, you know, put 25, 30 years into it. They follow a strict diet for all of that time, 20, 25 years. I know I've been about 15 years strong with it. Train on days that most people make up a ton of excuses. It doesn't matter if you're sick, if you're hurt, or raining, snow, whatever. These guys make it to the gym. So to say that it's all done, they could have sat on their ass and just, you know, took a pill and looked that way is nonsense at best and bullshit at worst. Give the guys the respect for something that you can't do. I am a personal trainer, and I know for a fact most people can't even follow a diet for 2 days, let alone 20 years. So, you know, in society, it's a damn shame. We have to have a reason for why someone has something that we don't, and we don't want to give them the credit for hard work, so we'd rather just blame it on something else. So, that being said, you know, I wanted to say, like, you know, when I started bodybuilding, first and foremost, I was diagnosed with pneumonia at 6 weeks old as a baby. I was given a very small chance to live. And if I lived, then I would always be a small child, is what they told me. When I started, most bodybuilders start lifting at 14, 15 years old. I didn't start until I was 26. And when I started at 26, I was 5'7", 147 pounds. I've been as high as 267 pounds. So that proves the myth that you can't, you know, and these were professional doctors with great degrees in education that told my mom that I would never be a big person. That dispelled that myth, you know, just, you know, work your ass off. Eat a lot of food and work your ass off, and you can achieve whatever you want to in bodybuilding if you have the right genetics. I know some people that don't have genetics, and they're just not going to be good no matter what. There's an old saying that bodybuilding, as far as the PEDs are concerned, the drugs are concerned, is that it can't turn a chihuahua into a great Dane. You know, you can't be a chihuahua, stick a needle in your ass, and all of a sudden you become a great Dane. It just doesn't happen. You were born a chihuahua. You might be a little bit bigger chihuahua, but you're not going to be a great Dane. Okay, so let's go back to November 1st, 1990, I was headed to a hardware store to buy some supplies for a house that I had just moved into. It was my very first house. And on the street in Park, it was in Park Forest, University Park, there was a small gym called Bob's Gym. And I had already been tilling around with the notion of lifting a little bit of weights in my house. Nothing serious, but I saw the gym, I went in the gym. And eventually, I wound up getting membership there. I spent a lot of years at Bob's Gym. I can remember watching ESPN and seeing a guy named Brian Smith. He had just won the Junior USA. He was a 5'8 heavyweight, probably 5'8, 240. The Junior USA is a huge title. And he had just won. They said he was from Lansing. And it was, you know, they advertised that he trained at Quad Gym. So I said, oh, well, you know, at this point, I'm probably about, started at 147. I'm probably about 175 pounds, feeling good about myself. So I go over to Quad Gym. And I go down to the locker room, I change clothes, put on my tank top, put on my shorts. I go upstairs, and I mean, these guys, they are just freaking humongous. And I'm looking around, and I'm seeing shit on these guys that, you know, arms and necks and traps and shoulders, you know, that I know I'm nowhere near. So I kindly slithered back downstairs, put my clothes on, and left. I didn't go back to quads for about two more years after that. But I think in Illinois, we have had some of the greatest talent come through. They say 90s is the greatest era of bodybuilding because they had so many different genetically gifted types. Nowadays, it's just like it's lackluster. It's like, you know, you first two in your class, every show you go pro. It used to be when I first started watching, you could only go pro by winning overall at the Nationals or the USA, meaning they gave out about two, three pro cards a year. Now they may give out 60 pro cards a year. They have all these different divisions. You don't have the balls to be a bodybuilder. Let's make physique. Let's make classic physique. Let's make wellness. Let's make bikini. Let's do all this. All those things didn't exist when I started. It was either you was a bodybuilder or you were not. So the genetic pool and the work ethic of what it takes is common line with society today. And that is, if you can't live up to those standards, we'll bring down those standards and create something for you. I remember starting out in sport, and this was probably 1990. I had just joined the gym. I was working out. I was looking good. And I started doing competitions. And when I say I got my ass handed to me the first few years, that's no exaggeration. I got my ass handed to me. Back then, if you placed first through fifth, you got a trophy. If you placed seventh through tenth, sixth through tenth, you would get a medal. And my goal in every show was to at least walk away with a medal. It was probably 3 years before I even got my first medal when I think I took seventh at a show. And that was probably because there was only seven guys in the show. So it took me, I won in Illinois in 94. So it took me about 4 years of doing two to three shows a year to really kind of start understanding and get what it took to compete in the sport. And during that time, you had guys like who I think, according to head up battles and ranking and things like that, I would probably put Chuck Sonnell, who owns USA Gym in Oakland, as one of our best competitors. Chuck Sonnell was not born with great genetics, but the thing that he would do, he would get so freaking shredded. He would be so conditioned that when he did a show, if he stood next to you, it made it look like you dieted it on pizza and butter. I mean, this guy just got so shredded. And he wound up turning pro. You know, then we had Chuck Dirt, Charles Dirt. I worked for him. He was probably one of the most arrogant to other people, not to me. Great symmetry, great posing, great conditioning. You know, just had it all. I think he was probably our second best bodybuilder. Brian Smith, the guy that I originally saw on ESPN winning the Junior USA, was the reason why I went over the quads. Brian was had movie star good looks. I really thought he would, everyone thought he would be go pro and really ride to the top. He had everything that it took. He had a great physique. He had great looks, great mannerisms. He was a very nice guy, trained like an animal. Brian wound up getting sick. I think he needed a kidney or something like that. So I really, and that derailed his bodybuilding career. But I really think if he didn't get sick, he probably would have went, I mean, very, very, very far in the sport. He was really a good bodybuilder. Then you had guys like Anthony Watkins. Everybody called him Herc. Just genetics. I mean, this guy was maybe 5'4", competed at 176, 22-inch arms. I mean, this guy was huge. I worked with him. He won the Illinois, the Midwest, the Junior Nationals, placed third at the USA, and placed third at the Nationals. And that's pretty stellar. I mean, that's great pedigree right there. But I just don't think he had the mentality that it took to go to that next level. But we had him on magazine. I had him on magazine covers, and he was featured in Iron Man magazine, and they were calling him the next great ones because he just had great genetics. And, you know, the guy just really, really was put together very, very well. But like I said, I don't think he had the mentality that it really took to go that deep into the sport. But all of these guys had come along before me. They were already competing at the national level for pro cards. Chuck, Charles Durr, John Larryu, who's a good friend of mine now. He had placed at the Universe a couple of times. All these guys were ahead of me. I came along in the 90s, of course, when bodybuilding was at its best. And guys like Andy Krychek or Cole Chendeka, which Cole wound up turning pro, you know, these guys would show up. What would happen? You'd be backstage, you undress, you look at what you got, you know, as opposed to the other people that's in your class. And anytime Andy, Cole, Reggie Anderson was included in that group, anytime they showed up, instantly you started saying, okay, well, we know who's going to win this show. I'm just hoping that I place, like I say, for a medal. Because these guys were good. Andy was excellent. He wound up being a good friend. The thing about competing back there, they always encourage you, even though they kick your ass. They used to tell me that I had what it took. I just got to keep going. I got to learn. I got to get more mature in my body. So they were very nice guys. Even though they handed you your ass, they were serious when it came to competing. Brian Glenn, you know, you were not going to beat these guys. They were really, really good. So fast forward to 1994, I had took 93 off and I just trained all year. I journaled all my food. I followed. I had made such great improvements. I knew when I showed up at Illinois, it would be very hard for anybody to beat me. I won't say that I disrobed and knew that I would win that show, but I knew I was the best I had ever looked and I would be tough, tough competition. Well, I wound up winning the light heavyweight and overall. And from that point, opportunities started to open for me in terms I started holding seminars. I started judging. Later, I started in 1999. I started promoting shows in 22 years ago. I opened up my studio because I fell in love with more of the business aspect of the sport. And that's what I focused on. Once I got my opportunity, these doors started to open up. I did not compete at all, almost. Last time I was on stage was 2006. Do I still think I have what it takes to win? Yes, I do. Do I have the drive? Yes, I do. I never stopped eating right. I never stopped training. Once a bodybuilder, you're always a bodybuilder. You know, there's still a lot of great business opportunities that I want to explore. But that's a desire that started me. I had a list of things that I wanted to do. And I did everything I wanted to do. Promote shows, promote seminars, judging. I did everything on my list except win a junior national competition or national competition and go pro. Will I do it? I don't know. It's always a thought. My body still makes the changes. I'm still in great shape. It's not a lot of guys, 5'7", 260, walking around in good shape. So, you know, I know that for me to put in the effort and show up the way I want to show up, I can be tough to beat for anybody. Oh, my boy, Glendale Montgomery, he was a great bodybuilder, or he is a great bodybuilder. He won the junior nationals. Jeff Galdin, I saw pictures of him when he was competing. I think he won the Illinois right before I did in 93. I mean, this guy was a monster. I mean, as far as condition and symmetry and size and mass, he was a really, really good bodybuilder. Unfortunately, I never got the chance to compete against him. So a lot of these guys, Andy, Cole, I got a chance to compete against them. And like I said, I never beat them. Reggie, never beat those guys. But in Illinois, we've had a lot of good bodybuilders come through. And a lot of them have went on to start great businesses. And I was, you know, I tried to include myself in that line of bodybuilders that really capitalized on what the sport has to offer. And I think I did that. So, you know, that's where we are. And I still have that burning desire to do it again, at least one more time. We'll see if that happens or not. But in the meantime, you know, that's my journey through bodybuilding. Started in 90, got my ass handed to me to 94, won a title, turned to business, and have been doing it ever since. I worked with a lot of athletes back in 97. I helped Charles Durr win a North American. I helped Herc win the Junior Nationals. Back then, they didn't call them prep coaches. They just called them friends that helping each other out. I had a client, Marlon, that I trained. Marlon won almost every local show there was to win. So I did work with a lot of people. I did do, you know, the knowledge that I gained. I did help a lot of people. But the journey, as far as a bodybuilder, it's not over. I still have that strong desire. I still have the ability to see my body change to what I want it to be. So who knows? You may see me back out on the stage again, kicking ass. I highly doubt if I'd get beat if I didn't now. But back then, like I said, I look at these guys. They're older. They're retired, doing other things. And I just remember those days of seeing these guys either guest posing at shows or in the gym training or working with them or working for them or getting advice from them. And it was probably the greatest years of my life from 1990 to present. It's like I really had a great journey in bodybuilding. So until next week, this is your man, Sir Earl. I'm signing out. And, you know, everybody keep it positive. Until next week, I'm out. Peace.